The following podcast is brought to you by the Dominican University of California. Greetings and good day to you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Backwoods Show. Lace up your boots, grab your packs as we explore survival in the great outdoors. I'm your host, Jay, and remember, you're never just a mile away. Jay here. Make sure you guys are all packed up and ready to go on an adventure as we learn about how to find and locate food while out in the wilderness. While backpacking, camping, or hiking, it is very important to know how to find food in the outdoors because you never know when you're going to be in a situation that you may not have food. And not having food and being away from civilization is not a good situation that you would want to be. As you know, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods weren't very popular until the mid-20th century. Before this, backpackers or any of those types of people would have to hike in their food or learn how to live off the land and find sources of food when you are not around civilization. Though, as a concept, it may not seem that challenging. Without food in the wilderness, in this situation, you will have to eat to survive, so the food and stuff that you will be eating will not taste particularly good, but it is going to be energy to keep you going and to make sure that you do not die, because that's the last thing we would want. To begin, a good source of sugar while out in the woods would be to find wild berries. Arguably the most common and most popular would be the blackberry. Their counterpart, the dewberry, is also very popular. They are popular because they have no lookalikes that are very dangerous. These types of berries mostly grow and are native in the Pacific Northwest region of the United States, with the exception of dewberries because those grow along the eastern half of the United States. In finding a blackberry bush, it should be very large, and making sure that the blackberries are actually ripe, not green or red, making sure that they are blue is very important because they are going to be not as tart as they could be. It's important to note that blackberries do not have a white piece on the inside as opposed to when you pull off a raspberry. Raspberries are another common wild berry that are found in many different parts of the United States, and they also grow wildly in colors of black and red. The red variety is far more common. There are no very toxic lookalikes to raspberries, so you do not have to worry. There is a similar lookalike, though, called the thimbleberry. The thimbleberry is red, and it doesn't have any thorns on the plant like the raspberry, which has small thorns on it. Also, the thimbleberry is wider, so it will be more easy to tell. Also, just want to make sure you guys know that the red on the thimbleberry is very vibrant, so it is a lot more eye-catching than the normal raspberry. Next, and arguably another very popular one, especially in the Pacific Northwest, is the huckleberry. Huckleberries are very well known for their purplish appearance, and they're very often used in syrups and other stuff like that that are really good, trust me. However, it is very important that you can properly identify huckleberries because there is some lookalikes that are very deadly. These are in the nightshade family, and they are very common, having very poisonous levels. Lastly, for the berry part, is the elderberries. Elderberries are purple and have a sort of pinkish type of stalk. They grow not really linearly, and they kind of grow all over the place. It's important that you do not pick the pokeberries because they're kind of toxic and you'll get sick from them. They are not deadly, but still it's better to avoid them than not. Berries are in clusters similar to grapes, so it's important that you know what to look for. And if you do know what to look for, it's very easy to safely harvest them. However, just make sure that you do not eat them raw, because you need to process them before they are ready to eat. Due to the fact that you cannot eat elderberries raw, is very hard because that means you would need a fire or a way to heat them up in the wilderness. So, hence, I put them on the last of the list. They are very enjoyable and delicious ripe, but not the best choice of berry if you're in a survival situation. It is best to go with another one. It wouldn't cross many people's mind, but flowers and many of them are edible. These provide some nutritional value that in a survival situation will help you keep going just that much more and give you some more energy. If you are in a wet, boggy area, water lilies are edible and are very good for survival. I have seen many people online that have eaten water lilies, and they actually say that they are not bad compared to others that they have tried. Next is wild asparagus. You might be thinking, how does asparagus grow in the wild? But they are actually very commonly grown. You can identify wild asparagus patches in the fall because they are bright yellow and sometimes have orange stems. However, you are going to want to look for stems that have a white base and are very tightly formed. In the spring, wild asparagus grows abundantly, most commonly by roadside ditches and irrigation outlets. It's a perennial plant that grows every year, so make sure you can locate a good asparagus crop, and who knows, you can even take it once you get home, after you survive, of course. Next is a nettle plant, or more commonly known as the stinging nettle. It's actually one of the most nutritionally valuable plants in the wild that you can have. They are very rich in minerals. Also, it's important that if you decide to pick nettles, that you make sure that you get nettles that haven't matured fully yet, because once they mature, they will have the stinging ability. However, they will still be bitter in flavor, so you're going to need to cook it. However, in a survival situation, this is not completely ideal, so you're going to have a source of fire first in order to be able to eat them while they are mature. Next is a very common weed called garlic mustard. It's infiltrated almost all of North America, and many gardeners, like my mom, do not like them, because they keep growing back and come back after year after year after year without any remorse. They just pop up everywhere all over the yard. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with them. You want to make sure that the leaves on these weeds are very serrated around the edge and that the veins of the leaves are very distinctive in appearance. Another good way to identify the garlic mustard weed is its tiny white petal buds. Also, if you're still unsure, you could just crush a leaf or two in your hands and you should get a garlicky aroma released from it. Then you will be able to identify garlic mustard. Throughout your life, one time or another, I'm sure you have come across a cattail. Cattails are very common throughout North America, and they are usually found around wetlands and marshy areas. Uncommonly known, though, cattails are actually edible. The rootstocks are one of the best parts to eat, and corndog-looking spike that comes off of the plant can actually be eaten once broken off, and eaten similar to a corn on the cob in the early summer. This is because it hasn't fully ripened yet, so it's still when it's developing, and you are still getting nutrients and such from the plant, so you are able to survive. Now, I'm sure most of you have tried to look and find a four-leaf clover, but have you ever tried one? Probably not. Lucky you, clovers are actually edible, and they are found pretty much everywhere that grass grows, as I'm sure you can spot them anywhere. They are very distinct by their three little green leaves. You can eat them raw. However, you can put them in a combination with other berries and other types of things that you find in the forest to kind of make the flavor go up a notch. Another plant that is similar to clovers is chickweed. This also grows in most grassy areas, and they can be found between May and July. These are very high in vitamins and minerals and look similar in the leaves of the clovers. However, they are bushy in appearance and have long, thin stalks with a small white flowers on the plant. As a kid, or even an adult, I'm pretty sure everybody has blown out a dandelion weed. Sure, it may be obnoxious as you have to pick them over and over again. However, the entire plant is edible. The roots, the flowers, and the leaves off of it. You can eat the leaves while they're still young. However, you just want to make sure that if it's mature, you're ready for the plant to be bitter. Some people in survival situations have actually made dandelion salads in order to survive. If you boil the dandelions, you will get rid of the bitterness. However, like I said before, with some other things that you can eat, it all depends if you have a fire. And in some survival situations, you may not have access to that very easily or at any given time. So, it's important to be ready and know that what you are eating will not always necessarily taste the best. Lastly, there are many different flowering plants that are edible out in the wilderness. One of them being camas, which is a purple flowering plant. The roots are not only edible, but they are very sweet and slightly sticky in texture. I have actually tried out camas about 2 years ago out in a backpacking trip with a couple of my friends, and we were surprised that it actually tasted pretty good. I wouldn't consider it to eat it every day, nor would I want to eat it every day, but it is great to eat in a survival situation. Fireweed is another common type of flower that is foraged. They are very beautiful as they are a pinkish purple kind of hue and grow in these tall, long stalks, all pointing out to a very tip-top, kind of similar to a tree. They also have many different types of vitamins and nutrients inside of them. The entire plant is edible. However, if you have horses or anything like that, it is important that they do not eat these because they can be toxic to different types of animals. Now that you know what to look for in a survival situation, it is important that you take away some key things. Making sure that you don't take from plants that appear unhealthy is very important. Also, if you are not unsure about a plant, then don't eat it, because it is better to be safe than sorry. And always make sure that you do not consume too much, because you never know if you are allergic. And having an allergic reaction out in the woods is the last thing that you would want, because you are not close to anything. So, it's important that you correctly identify these different types of plants and have a guide or an expert with you before you consume these different types of plants. It is also imperative that you do some of your own research to familiarize yourself and be able to make sure that you can tell one plant from another, because there are many different lookalikes out there. Lastly, just wanted to make sure that you know, if you see an animal eating it, that does not mean that it is safe for consumption, because there's different things that are poisonous to us that aren't poisonous to different animals, and vice versa. So, make sure you are familiar with yourself and your surrounding area. Thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of The Backwoods Show. I hope to see you all next week, all packed up and ready to go on another adventure. Thanks again. See you guys later. Have a good one.